I'd like to call the meeting of the application review committee to order. Today's date is June 3rd, 2019. The time is 7:32 a.m. The purpose of this meeting is to substantively review psychologist applications. Ms. Falk, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Malotte?
Present.
Thank you, Dr. Meyer. You have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Falk. Are there any changes, additions, or corrections to the regular session meeting?
I'm wondering whether we can vote on it since I wasn't at the last.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Malotte, these minutes are from your last meeting.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. Yeah, I didn't look at the name. Yeah. Who attended. Okay. Okay. Can we come back to that so I can look at it real quickly? I just assumed.
So. Yeah. Okay. So we can wait a minute on that and move on to agenda four, discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. First of all, we have Dr. Jeremy Harris present. So I'd like to start with her. And she is B5 on the agenda. And so I can start by reviewing her. She's applying for to take the ECCC in for licensure. This is a first additional information request. And so she was previously reviewed in April, on April 26th, and the main concern we had was that we did not see three semester hours or five quarter hours for the ethics category, as her graduate school was not APA accredited. As far as her hours, she was applying pre-doc hours, had 2040 with a training plan verification. Her internship hours were, she had 1500 hours and had a training plan verification, and then private practice, or she started a postdoc. She had references. And the concern that we had had was that her ethics course that she listed was from a master's degree in counseling. It was not for clinical psychology. And then she did have a course from her PhD program. And so her submission is using her comprehensive exams to count for the extra ethics credit. She did receive verification from her school and provided the evaluation standards, which does include ethics. So what it looks like to me is that we have four quarter hours credits, and then also using the comprehensive exams. So I would say that those criteria have been met. Dr. Malotte?
Yes, I agree. The comps exam definitely covers that portion of which allows for ethics. So I don't have a problem. So we can move her for approval. So I'll make a motion to move her for approval. Oh, we can make the motion later on for this category. So.
Okay. Dr. Jeremy Harris, did you have any questions or anything to add?
No, thank you very much for your time, Drs. Milan, Dr. Meyer.
Okay. And
so next, if we could move, Ms. Folks, you said Gregory Logid is here?
Yeah, Logid. Also, I neglected to mention Dr. Eveline Bush is also on the phone. I didn't know which one you would prefer first.
Well, we've got Dr. Logai. I had the second, so let's start there. And then we can come back to there's Dr. Bush. Okay. All right, so if we can jump down to agenda D1, Gregory Logid. I'm sorry, how do you pronounce your name?
It's Logid.
Okay, thank you, Logid. So this was requesting approval of supervised experience for licensure. He was previously approved for and passed the EPPP. And there were, it looks like, verification of his postdoctoral hours had some questions.
Dr. Myers, I have a recommendation. This is complicated enough that we might either need to open up a complaint or, but before we do that, I think I just like to move it to the full board on Friday, because there's, whenever we run into an ethical issue like this, so my recommendation, I'm sorry, that, and Dr. Logid, I know this is pretty last minute, but if you can attend in person, and Ms. Folks, if we can put this on the agenda for Friday, that way we can really, and you know, if we could get this, is really, these are all suggestions, but I would like to see a timeline of what happened first. It's just so complicated. I was going through it, but it does need to be reviewed by the full board. So rather than go through the whole thing today and then go through it again on Friday, that's my recommendation.
Is it possible to have this case added to the agenda for this Friday's meeting?
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Malott, yes, it is.
Okay. Does that need a motion or?
Yeah, I'll make the motion that we move this board to the full board for approval, and that we request that Dr. Logid attend that meeting in person if possible, and so we can review his approval of supervised experience for licensure.
So. I'll be there.
Okay. I second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Logid, for attending, and we'll either talk to you in person or by phone on Friday.
Sounds good. I'll be at
Ms. Folks will be... Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, and we also have Dr. Bush present. Is that correct? Dr. Bush, are you here?
Yes.
Okay, welcome. So, Dr. Bush, we'll jump back to agenda B4. Dr. Bush, this is a second additional information request, and the previous review, we requested documentation of that she met residency requirements. We did receive a letter from the school that says 375 hours both on campus and video. And Dr. Bush also provided a response saying that she had interaction in person with faculty and current students. However, I'm still unclear. Video hours do not count for residency. So I don't feel that the provided information gives evidence of being in Turks and Caicos, taking classes from faculty with other students. Dr. Malott, what are your thoughts on the additional information that was submitted?
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Myers. The in-person hours, video conferencing doesn't count. It's a very, very clear statutory regulation that people meet in person. They have the in-person experience of a, you know, regular program in the event that it is an online type program. And the 300, the other thing about the hours is that it has to be done within a 12-month period. And I saw the note from the registrar, and there was no indication on the timing of the 12 hours, you know? The 12 months. So at the least at this point, I would request that all of the meeting times that were in person, not video conferencing, if we can get a detailed log, you know, of when the meetings occurred in person, the timing, the dates, and what was discussed. I'm familiar with other programs like these, and they're very, very clear. You know, they'll meet for, you know, a weekend every month or every other month, or they'll meet for 3 days, or they'll have 2-week residencies, you know, to achieve that. So they're very, very clear. They have an agenda. It's spelled out as to what is discussed. So I would appreciate getting something like that to help us, you know, move forward. So the blanket statement did not help me understand whether it met the requirement.
Okay, I agree. I think that we need specific information documenting that the residency requirements from ARS 32-2071-K are met. Dr. Bush, do you have any questions or comments?
Well, at this point, I would have just to request the school to provide a log, because I don't have the log with me.
Okay. I that would be helpful if you could request that, or if you could recreate it from syllabi or emails or just any records that you have to document travel information, this actual information about how this in-person requirement was met.
Okay. Good morning. It has to come from me or from the school, that detail log.
I would say that you prepare the log, and then the school needs to verify and authenticate that information.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Dr. Myers, that's my suggestion.
I think that sounds very appropriate.
All right.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Fox, did we have anyone else present that we needed to move up to the top?
Not that I'm aware of, although it did sound like someone joined the call. Did we have a new person join the call?
Yeah, this is Jean Galvin. Sorry, I'm tardy.
Oh, hi, Jean. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, we do not have anyone else on the call or in person.
Okay. So let's move back up to Agenda A1. Dr. Stigler. Dr. Malott, do you want to start with her?
Yeah. Dr. Stigler is an applicant who wants to just sit for the exam. She graduated from an APA-approved program, Rosalind Franklin. She did her internship at a VA a medical center, which is also accredited. She submitted everything else we needed, so I did not see any problems with the application, and I'm okay with moving her forward.
I agree. Didn't see any problems, and it's good to move her forward. Next is Dr. Crystal Brown, also just applying to set for the ECCC, graduated from Carlos Sabizu University, which is APA accredited. She's using internship hours. She had 2,088 hours from the Federal Corrections internship, which was APA accredited. References were there, and I saw no problems with the application. And feel that it can be approved.
I agree. And you want me to do the next one?
Sure, thank you.
Yes. The last one in this category is Michelle Eau Claire Rothstein. She got her doctorate from Augusta, Phoenix. She completed her internship at the VA Medical Center in Prescott. She took the exam in New Mexico, but did not pass it. She's applying here as a new applicant and wishes to take the exam. Yeah, she had some difficulty getting her postdoc hours, so she moved her application to just taking the exam. So based on that information, I didn't see any problems with approving her her application.
Okay, I agree.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to approve Dr. Stigler, Dr. Brown, and Dr. Eau Claire Rothstein to move to the full board for approval to sit for the exam.
And I seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Agenda item B, number one, requesting approval to sit for the examination and licensure. First, we have Dr. Glowacki. This is a reapplication that previously set for the exam in May of 2019. The rest of his application had already been approved. Graduated from Midwestern, APA accredited. His hours were previously approved from pre-doc and internship. And I saw no concerns with his application. Dr. Malott?
Yes, no problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cynthia Prada is in the same case. She's a reapplication at Pacific University. She's been reviewed by the full board, so I'm okay with moving her forward.
Okay, I agree. And next is David Jocelyn. This is an initial application, graduated in 2015 from Midwestern, APA accredited. contributing 1652 hours from pre-doc. His hours had a training plan and verification, completed 2,000 hours for internship at Arizona State Hospital, which is APA accredited. He had references, and I saw no concerns with his application and would recommend it for approval. Dr. Blunt?
Yes. No problems with his application.
And we've done Dr. Bush and Dr. Jeremy Harris. So next is Dr. Mandigo.
Yeah, and
did we have someone else?
It's Jean again. I got cut off.
Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Dr. Malott?
Yeah, Dr. Mandigo got her degree from George Fox University, APA approved in 2010. She's worked for the last 15 years at the Department of Correction. I can't read my writings. I don't know where it is. Washington, I think. Yeah, it's Washington. He completed a 2,000-hour internship at an APA-accredited. She chose not to get licensed, and I guess she worked under supervision at the Department of Correction. So she is now applying to sit for the exam and licensure on passing. I didn't have any problems with the application, and she is ready to move forward if you're okay with it.
Let me double check. I didn't see a training plan for her postdoc hours.
She had in those days, but she can do a post-dated one, because we didn't do training plans.
Right. Okay, so I guess there's a letter.
Yeah, I thought I saw something.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so there was a letter there. Okay, so I don't have any other concerns with her. Okay, Rodney Reed. Graduated from Alliant International, which was APA accredited. Did an internship at Center for Aging, 2,000 hours. APA approved internship, and then has 3,760 hours working with Indian Services and with a verification and training plan. So I saw no issues with his application.
There was one slight thing I noticed, and maybe Jean can reassure me. When you did the math, obviously he's gone way above what we need. He's got, he needed 1,000 hours. Yeah, 3,000 some hours. He needed 100 hours of supervision, and he needed direct hours, and everything was way above the top. But when you do the ratios, it's short by about 4 hours of supervision. And so, he can resubmit this and reduce this thing by 40 hours. So if it was 3720, it would be exactly aligned. And maybe just a note for the file, something that we can get, but I'm okay with moving him. And I struggle with these when they, because he can submit as many hours as he needs to get a license, and obviously, he has more than enough. So just a matter of meeting our paperwork requirements. So I struggle with these. I hate to be so persnickety, but... No.
But I think we have I think we have had cases in the past where applicants have similar circumstances. And I do recall, I believe, that you have asked them, you would certainly have the authority to ask them to, you know, resubmit the number of hours, that, you know, the minimum number of hours that are required to ensure that the ratio is met.
Okay, so just maybe if we can get that in the file before the Friday, we can, you know, include him. So a quick note to him to get a note, even an email from his supervisor to be attached.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Malott, are we referring to the postdoc experience?
Yeah, the postdoc.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have no problem with that either. Next is Dr. Norbeck. He graduated from Argosy, APA credited, submitted pre-doc hours, 2,517 of them with a verification and training plan. She completed an internship at the VA that was APA accredited, has references. I saw no problems with her application.
Okay. I'm good with that. And then who do we have? The next one we have is Spencer Hughes. Graduated in clinical psych from Ohio State, submitted pre-internship hours for at least 1,000, and did an internship at the VA Medical Center, which is APA accredited, for 2,000 hours. He had all his references, everything in place, so I didn't see any problem with his application.
Nor did I. Okay, so we have I'd make a motion to move. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was about to. You go ahead.
I'd make a motion to move all of the applicants except for Dr. Bush and Dr. Reed. To the sorry, I'm struggling with my words here. To move to the board for approval for examination and licensure.
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. Okay, next agenda item is agenda C, requesting approval for licensure by waiver. First, we have Dr. Coder, who's been licensed more than 20 years, licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Washington, and Oregon. Graduated in 1975 from University of Minnesota, which is APA accredited. The only concern was that he did report a malpractice suit in 1993. However, there were no disciplinary actions taken by the Washington board, and the claim was settled, and there's been no other complaints since then. So I have no problems with approval for this. Dr. Malott?
Yeah, I would like maybe to ask Ms. Galvin. There is court order in the file indicating this incident, and it was settled out of court, and but the Washington board took no action because evidence, and I think that was what Dr. Cota said. You know, I don't see any point in even reviewing it because I'm sure it's what, 1993, you said, you know, it's almost 25 years. So we wouldn't be able to, and he's had a history. So I'm assuming we are okay to go ahead and approve. You know, he gave us as much information as he could and was very proud of the fact that he remembered as much as he could. And so, but I just want to make sure we're doing due diligence. This did come up.
Yeah, if you've reviewed everything that he's provided and you've determined that there's nothing else that would help you in your assessment of the case, then you can go ahead and make that recommendation to approve.
Okay. Okay, so I can support that, Dr. Myers. And thank you, Ms. Galvin.
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Mott, you want to take the next one?
Yeah. The next one is Dr. Kennedy. He completed his doctorate from Fielding University, which is an APA-approved program. He did an internship in Pennsylvania. He has been licensed for, again, in at least 10 years, so he can waive the postdoc. And his references were in order, so I did not see any problem with his application.
Nor did I. Okay, next is Dr. Rivera. She was previously approved to take the ECCC. And temporary licensure. She passed the exam. Her school is from Argosy in school psychology. We previously reviewed pre-doc and internship hours. She completed 1,504 hours post-doc in a school psych setting. Had verification and treatment plan, references to present, so I saw no concerns with verification.
I agree. Next one is Kelsey Novak. She got her doctorate from Midwestern. She moved to Wisconsin, I think, anyway. She applied and passed the ECCC, but intends to return to Arizona. I don't think she intends to seek licensure in Wisconsin, some state.
Minnesota,
yeah. It was close by. I was trying to remember my job. So, internship was APIC approved. She also submitted pre-internship hours for the remaining 1,000. So I didn't see any problems with her application.
I agree. Next is Dr. Marie Darden. She passed the ECCC in Kentucky in 2015, but did not pursue licensure at that time. She was still in school at that time. She graduated from University of Mississippi, graduated in 2018. That school is APA approved. She submitted 1,920 hours from a VA internship that was APA approved or accredited. And then postdoc was also at a VA. She submitted 1,360 hours with verification and training plan. I saw no problems with her application.
I was fine with her application. And the last one left in the it is the last one. What did I miss one?
Yeah, Dr. Romero and then Dr. Tabor.
Okay. I jumped to Tabor. Dr. Romero is an applicant again who's applying for a waiver. He got her doctoral degree from Pennsylvania APA program. He completed her internship at the Tulane University School of Medicine for 2,000 hours, which is also an APA-approved internship. And then she, we have two references. I'm thinking, I'm sorry, I somehow skipped her. So she's been licensed since 2007. So she meets the 10-year requirement to waive the postdoc. And her references are appropriate and meet our requirements. And we have an E-triple score that is also within the accepted range. There's been no reports of any malpractice or anything over the years. So I move that we move her approval for licensure by waiver to the full board. Yeah.
I agree. And last in this section is Dr. Tabor. She was licensed in South Carolina in 2017, graduated from University of Southern Mississippi, which was APA accredited. She submitted 2,000 hours internship, which was APA accredited, and then 1,539 hours from Francis Marion University for postdoc with a verification and training plan, submitted references, and I don't see any problems with her application.
Agree. I'll make a motion.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make one to approve Dr. Cota, Dr. Kennedy, Dr. Rivera, Dr. Novak, Dr. Darden, Dr. Dr. Romero, and Dr. Tabor to the full board for approval for licensure by waiver.
Seconded. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. And so moving on to agenda D, we already reviewed Dr. Logard, but I don't think I made a motion to request pushing this. Do I need to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Lott made the motion.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we did do that right when we did his case. And just for you may want to update Ms. Galvin since she wasn't here, I think, when we discussed this.
Okay, yes. Ms. Galvin, we requested that Dr. Logide submit more of a formal timeline because there were some ethical concerns raised by his supervisor, and we requested that he be present on Friday or pull in, and that we would review his application with the full board.
Okay, that sounds fine. Thank you.
All right, moving on to agenda E, requesting approval for licensure by credential. We just have one applicant, Catherine Ann McCrimmon Evans. She submitted a credential from the National Register of Health Service Psychologists. She's been licensed in Iowa since 1991, so meets the 5-year requirement. I have no concerns about her application, and so would recommend approval. Dr. Malott?
I agree, and I'll make the motion to move her forward to the full board for approval for licensure upon submitting, by credential.
Seconded. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. And next agenda item is no agenda items for future meetings. Are there any items?
No, I don't have any, but I do want to let Ms. Folks know and Ms. Jones that I really appreciate the new format of getting materials. I like the fact that it's, you know, on the World Wide Web, so it's very, very easy to follow. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I agree. Thank you so much.
Mr. Chairman?
And...
yes. The minutes were not approved. Did you
want to
go back to
that? Yeah, I'm okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for the meeting in, I think, the April meeting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. March 29th.
March 29th, yes. March 29th.
Seconded? Mm-hmm. Okay, seconded.
Okay. I made the motion, you seconded. Go ahead.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. And I think that concludes everything. I hear a motion to adjourn the application review committee.
Yes, and thank you, Dr. Myers, for leading and for doing such a great job. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You're a little rough, but I'm trying.
No, you're doing great. So. You're doing great. And very,
you're doing very well.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, anyway, so I make a motion to adjourn.
Seconded. All in favor? Say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned at 8:14 a.m. Thank you all for your help. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you Friday.